Is it Friday already, boys?
Oh, it is.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboombaugh on Off the Rails Friday. Jam-packed hour. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Ray Ferraro, ESPN analyst, former NHLer, 1,258 games in total. Also, what would Off the Rails Friday be without Doug McLean?
On the rails. That's what it would be.
We'll get to him in about 34 and a half minutes. In the meantime, we're glad you are with us wherever you are watching, listening. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 360, or Sportsnet Plus.
Every Sportsnet. We're on every Sportsnet.
Wherever. How was the $140 million
It was good.
Mercedes?
It was good. I looked at it. I passed.
You didn't get it?
No, I didn't get it.
Cheap.
Couldn't, but fun event. Thank you for asking.
Good,
it was
nice.
Good.
Sorry.
Hope you're feeling better. I know you were a little under the weather.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you are.
I think
the thought of a car costing $144 million made you sick.
That might have been it.
I think I'm the next stop here.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, we're sitting in this little Petri dish. Neither of you have been feeling great for 2 weeks. I got one coming for sure.
Oh,
so.
All right.
And it's not Masters Thursday, so we're good to go.
Well, once again, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. We'll get to Ray in a few seconds. But overall, I wish I could tell you that last night's double overtime win by the Edmonton Oilers was a thriller.
Yeah.
Mm. But it wasn't. But Edmonton fans, Canadian fans, I think will take the win.
You know, it's funny, just the progression of playoffs. And in that first round, it's setting the tone and it's personal and it's hit everyone and shoot everything and it's mayhem. And last night was a pretty organized hockey game. You know, two teams played within their structure, wasn't a ton of chances. The Oilers found a way.
It's almost like too much structure now.
Too much coaching.
Too much, like, chess.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Everyone's any 50-50 puck, both sides are pulling out. So it doesn't make for... But yeah, I mean, there were some great moments, obviously.
I do feel differently about the series, for sure.
I do too.
Where I went into it thinking, I'm like, I think the Stars are way deeper. I think the Stars are a better team, more good players. But, you got the two top-end guys, right? Like, it's depth versus top of the lineup.
So
I think Edmonton looked pretty good.
Let me ask you something here. If Robertson finds a way to get the inside of the post off of the McDavid double minor and they're up 1-0, do you feel any differently?
Yes, I do.
You would have gone more with a deeper Dallas team.
No. I would feel the same. Sorry.
You would feel the same way?
Yeah, I would feel the same way.
Okay.
I thought they looked way more evenly matched.
Would you sit there and go, you just found a way to lose?
I would have felt differently about the chances of the teams winning, for sure.
Yeah.
But... you know, I said going into the series, the joke I made was that it's a bunch of retirees and teenagers. And I think as you go on in playoffs, that's hard on retirees. That's a lot of hockey for the old guys. And the young guys can get exposed because these are big moments and they haven't been there before. I do think the Oilers are in a pretty good spot here.
The moment they killed that double minor off of McDavid.
McDavid's just been resting.
Was the moment I said, you're letting a tiger out of the cage right now.
Yeah.
And you, if you didn't win it there, you will lose this hockey game.
Yeah. McDavid he obviously got robbed by Ottinger on the one play when he pulled it back. He makes a great play to get the shot. But they let the Oilers hang around and got the result they deserved.
All right, let's get to him. Ray Ferraro, been on the show before and disappeared on us like David Copperfield. But we found him.
Yes.
He's back. And he's in New York City getting ready for the big game two, Rangers-Panthers. Razor, what's going on, man? How are you?
Just looking at the billboards of Kip all over Madison Square, right? The place that you built, right?
Well, listen, we're coming up on our 30th anniversary of our Stanley Cup win. We had Alex Kovalev on yesterday.
Oh.
And in a nutshell, I asked him, you know, in today's world, how many Michigan goals would you have scored today? Right? And he's like, the puck needs to stay on ice, not in the air.
Yeah, but how about Kip, whenever we'd have a 3-on-3 game after practice, if you had Alex on your team, you won. You won the game.
I know someone.
He did whatever he wanted to do.
Someone was bringing me a Gatorade. I knew that for sure.
Yes, he was the best. What a player! And it is amazing. 30 years, since you guys won, and it is a big deal around here. Like it. I mean, maybe not surprisingly, but it is a big deal. And the people really, you hear it inside the building when they bring one of the guys back, the people connect to that team, man. And they'll remember that forever.
Okay, we're going to get into the Western Conference because I definitely want to get your thoughts on Edmonton and Dallas. But in the meantime, picking up on that vibe in New York City, how much are fans kind of disappointed maybe, or just did it bring that excitement down a little bit with such a frustrating loss in game one for New York?
I think they were disappointed. I think they were surprised. The building got really quiet pretty quickly because almost from the first shift out of the gate, Florida spent most of the time in the Rangers zone until maybe the last 10 minutes of the game when the Rangers had a pretty good flurry and it was still 1-0. Like that's, I don't think can be, forgotten and is maybe ineffective as the Rangers were for a lot of the game. It was still 1-0. They were right there. Schneider had a breakaway, hit the goalpost. Cooley had a breakaway and got stopped. Florida didn't have, I would say, a multitude of chances, but what they do, guys, is like they forecheck and they grind and they're big and there's no room. And the Rangers would spend all this time trying to get out of their zone. Finally, they flip it out to center and they get the change. And then it starts all over again. Like there was very little danger in Florida's end of the ice for 50 minutes. And I think the building got really like almost like they were watching a movie. They just sat back. There was nothing to cheer for. You can't really out hit Florida. They're so big. Mm-hmm. So where do you get your momentum from? And energy, you have to have the puck, and they just didn't have it.
So Sam McKee here on our show likes to say that the Panthers play offended, right? They're just constantly, everything bother after the whistle. They're mm-hmm. in your face. They kind of have this great energy to them. Mark Messier yesterday says that, hey, maybe Rempe needs to come in for the Rangers. Maybe they need to get emotional and try to match that. How do you feel about that? Or is that just playing into Florida's hands, Ray?
No, but I don't know how effective it can be, Justin. Like, I think Rempe's going to play today. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, for a guy that plays, 6 to 8 minutes, man, does he charge the building up.
Yeah.
As soon as he hits the ice, like, there's very few players that are on the ice without even seeing him. Like, if you're looking this to your right and he jumps on the ice to your left, he's there because the building sees it. The Panthers have done a really good job kind of limiting that scrum, extra penalty, have to kill off being over rambunctious. They haven't done that.
Yeah.
Really since maybe early in that Boston series, right around the, I'll call it the Bennett game, if you will. But like since then, they just haven't taken many penalties. And here's the thing, like there are players you can run into a spot where they're maybe not quite effective because your team is big and physical across the board. Who are you going to do that to Florida? Because they're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Their smallest guy is Evan Rodriguez, and he plays with two really big guys. And so it really doesn't matter. They're built really well, really deeply. No, like one guy carries the load for them. Barkov's, I think, an amazing player. Kachuk's their engine and their heartbeat. And they're just deep and big. This is a hard series for somebody to beat Florida, whether it's the Rangers or somebody else, 4 out of 7.
And then that's why, I love Rempe, Razor, but he can't single-handedly now jack up the New York Rangers. It's got to be like 19 other guys that look at themselves after that game one. What's surprising to me is that I would have believed that this roster, this New York Ranger roster, would know exactly what they were expecting out of Florida and got it. And yet they still kind of looked like deer in headlights on an occasion. And the worst one for me was the Mikkola hit on Hurdle at the end.
Hedl, yeah.
Hedl. And yep. and the game's over, and Hedl takes like 10 seconds to get up. Like, you know, you kind of really got me, but there's no emotion towards saying, hey, you don't get a freebie here. Nobody addressed him. Nobody said anything. And it's like, boys, did you not know what was coming?
Well, okay, so it looked really odd, the hit, right? Like it was a big hit and it was right at the buzzer. I think there might have been 1 second left. It was, so I guess this is a half defense of the Rangers, but where I'm standing, I couldn't see it. Like it was right down the boards. And you know the way the garden, you know, the benches are and the rink is and the way that corner
it skews.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not a clean look.
That's right.
I don't know if everybody saw it. I on the Ranger bench, I don't know if anybody really saw it.
That's
and
interesting.
I think at that point, guys were kind of turned. You know, when the buzzer goes, you turn back and go pat your goalie. I think they were kind of half on the way back, and they know about it now.
Yeah.
But I'll compare them, you know, because we're in Toronto to the Leafs. Like, you know, the Leafs wanted to add one more grinding forward. Like, one guy doesn't, and I'm speaking of Rempe here, one guy doesn't change your team. You need a herd. And so if you don't have that, then you have to play to what the strength of your team is. And what I thought the Rangers didn't do was they didn't get out of their end at all. So then they were slow in the middle. They never had the puck. And when they did, the Panthers stay up really tight. So you got to chip it past them. Maybe it's not your favorite play, but get it off your stick quicker in your zone. Get it up faster, chip it in more, and try and spend some time down there, because the one and outs against Florida, if that's all you got, they're going to beat you because they spend too much time in your zone.
And I wonder if you think, Ray, that there should be some of that, you know, this emotion and competitiveness in Florida's crease. Like in the playoffs, there's been 6 goalie interference challenges. Florida's been involved in every single one. Like Bobrovsky's
Have they really?
Well, it's been both ends, their end and the offensive end. Yeah. But like Bobrovsky's been fantastic, has he not? Like it feels like the Rangers are going to have to fall on this guy at some point or something.
Well, what's it? So he gave up. They lost 5-1 in game one to Boston. Since then, they've given up 8 goals in 6 games.
Wow.
If you don't get on top of his toes, man, he's going to stop it. And again, I think part of the problem becomes if you don't spend enough time there, you get one shot, he stops it, goes to the corner. You need a second shot. You need a rebound so a guy like Kreider can get to the front and he can stay there. And once he gets there, then you've got a chance for a rebound, a tip. Maybe Bobrovsky makes an awkward save and he can't get across, because if he gets out on a shot, right now he stops everyone. Like, just think of the, like, 8 goals in 6 games. They never have to score much to win. And they're super comfortable. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. They're super comfortable playing 2-1 games. They'll play those all day. They don't seem to worry about that too much.
So, Ray, just like any other team, you live and die by your best players for the New York Rangers here. Yeah. If by chance Rempe finds a way to kind of pull it into the ditch a little bit and slow this thing right down, does that help or hurt Zibanejad and Panarin?
Well, I think if there's more energy, you know, energy's infectious. You know, Kip, like when you were the type of player that if you made a big hit on a forecheck, you could feel how that the puck wasn't clean. Now the next guy makes a hit and pretty soon you got something going. And then the next shift comes out and the building's a little more jumpy and you've got the next line feels energetic going over the boards, because there's lots of times you go over and everybody's kind of waiting to assess the shift. But when there's momentum, say Panarin, Trocheck, Zibanejad, all quiet in game one, maybe they get a little zip going over the boards. The last five games, Zibanejad has got 6 shots on net.
Ew.
Yeah, so he can't be a non-factor if the Rangers are going to win.
Like, so, he just can't be.
No.
And that's what, unfortunately, that the pressure on the big guys now is that. Like, depth is great and all that. You need to have it. You need to have health to win. But if your big guys aren't near their best, you've got real problems.
So what are your thoughts on the pressure that these guys, the attention they get now? Like, we've talked ad nauseum in this show, you know, the first round, it was Mitch Marner had struggled. Then it was Elias Pettersson had struggled. We're talking about Zibanejad. Like, Vancouver was getting 12 shots a night. There's so much coaching now and so much attention on these individuals.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like a different sport for the elite scorers when you get to the playoffs right now.
I don't think there's any question. I think that's why when I look at Leon Draisaitl and what he's done over the last 3 years, I'm like, that I think cumulatively, that guy's been the best player in the last 3 years in the playoffs. Yeah. Amazing. It seems like every game he scores or he makes a really important play. To your point, Justin, I think you look at your regular season numbers and then just throw them out the window in the playoffs more than any other time I can remember in a regular season and playoffs. If you look at a team, oh, they're 26% in the playoffs. Well, you'll get a couple of three power play goal games in the regular season. You get some team on a back-to-back or 4 and 5 games and you just rip them apart one night. Well, here you don't. You get the same team every night. Your tendencies are scouted and re-scouted. Yeah. And the players are now used to hearing about that. They're used to how to attack it. They know how to attack it. There was not that detail prior. So you could find your way out of a hole. Like, so I just talked about Zibanejad. Adam Fox doesn't have a point in 5 games. If Adam Fox doesn't get on the score sheet, the Rangers lose.
Yeah.
Like in this series. And yet every time the puck goes into their corner, somebody runs into Adam Fox. He never gets away clean. It's like Quinn Hughes. Every time he went back, man, he had the first forechecker and then the second. And in the regular season, it's not that way. It's just not, there's not the urgency to play that way, or there's not the physical capability of a team to play that way. But in the playoffs, they can. And so the guys that can succeed now, they're a special breed. They really are.
To pull a cliche out real early in a series of must win, you kind of got that feeling in game 2 in New York for the Rangers here. You don't envision the Rangers losing tonight and then winning the next 4 out of 5 games, do you?
I think I'm going to whiff on the year, but I think it's, if you lose the first 2 games at home in this round, the conference final or the semifinal, whatever they used to call it, if you lose the first 2 games at home, the last team that won that series was in 1954, and it was Detroit.
Jeez.
21 times.
Yeah.
20 times they've lost, including last year, Carolina lost the first 2 games to Florida. You lose the first 2 at home, and the numbers tell you you're dead. So it really feels like this is a must win.
So, Ray, are you good on this series,
yes.
Kip? We turn the page.
Yep.
Not sure if you were able to catch last night's game, but pretty good opener. You know, it was okay. You know, what are your thoughts after game 1? Did it change how you feel about the Oilers or Dallas or the way that series was going to shake out?
No, 2 things stood out for me. 1, Dallas really misses Roope Hintz.
Yes.
And when he comes back into the series, whenever it is, I'll say it's a game changer for Dallas. It doesn't mean they're going to changes the series, but they're a way better team. Hintz is a really, really good, impactful player for them, and I thought they missed him a lot. And I think they miss him every game he plays, but in a series like this, he's big and fast and powerful. I think they missed him. I also think this Edmonton team is built to win games they would have never won prior, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. Think of the first round they won
6 months ago.
Yeah, first, doesn't it feel like it? Like, when was it? I had to think and look. I'm like, oh yeah, it was LA. But they 13 shots, they won that game in LA. They never got the puck in their zone. They got one, they scored once and they won. I don't think they win that before. I think their best players are more content and maybe more understanding that they can help win without scoring 3 points. So in a game that is 0-0, they'll just keep playing it. They'll just keep playing the game, knowing that if they get the opportunity, they're in good hands. Their big guys are going to score. Didn't change anything for me except, man, that's a big win on the road. Edmonton got certainly fortunate in overtime when Robertson hits the post twice in, I don't know, 10 seconds there on the power play. But, man, they kill penalties. They grind. Their top five guys, three of the five of them seem to score every game. It's like, it's crazy how good the top end of that roster's been.
And I know a grenade blew up off of Kulak's stick for one of the goals, but those type of mistakes are now far and few than we saw at the beginning of the season for the Oilers. And it's led by Bouchard.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, because he often was the guy making that mistake.
Correct.
He could, certainly early in the year, he could take a nap for about 8 or 10 minutes, turn over a puck or two, press to try and make it up, make another mistake.
Not anymore.
Like the game was, no, he's been fantastic. Man, I know people often talk about free agent signings and Zach Hyman being one of the best over the last 10 or 15 years, and certainly it is. But what about the trade 2 years ago that Kenny Holland pulls off getting Matthias Ekholm?
Yeah.
That guy's a player. He's a beast in the playoffs,
and
he seems to be perfect for Bouchard.
And a leader, and in many ways, as much of a leader as McDavid and Draisaitl for me now. Yeah. He has stepped up. He was absolutely hidden, and I don't know, buried's not the right word in Nashville.
Yeah.
But
they had so many good D.
Exactly.
You'd always talk about, Weber and, oh man, what a great player he is. And then, Ham Hughes was there for a long stretch of time. And then you still wouldn't get to Ekholm. Right? There was Josi.
Josi. Yeah,
and Ekholm.
He's such
but
a
he
stud.
He was just another guy. So they're built different. I like the fact that they can be patient and calm in a game that is really hard to be that way in. It is going to be madness when they get back for game three. And, Dallas is in the, they're in the same boat, really. Not really, of course they are. They're in the same boat as the Rangers. Lost game one at home. And now road teams win more on the road. Road teams win games in the playoffs more now than they ever have. It is remarkable to see. They have a better one-loss record in the playoffs. Both road teams go in and drag out wins in game one.
How has your experience been covering playoffs this year, Ray? Having fun?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
He's at the gym every day. He's in never better shape than when he's on the road in the playoffs.
Although I did get my ass kicked playing golf from Joe Micheletti yesterday.
Oh, wow. Really?
Joe's steady, man.
Where'd he take you?
Sleepy Hollow.
Ooh.
And what a beautiful place. If people are listening that are golf fans that don't know it, just Google Sleepy Hollow. They'll show you. The picture it'll come up will be their 16th hole. It's a square green, and it is the coolest looking hole. It's a beautiful place. So I spent the off day there yesterday, which was awesome. But the games are great. They're fun. They're important. They're intense. And, it's been a really good run.
Well, we certainly appreciate you doing this today for us.
Yes.
Especially on a Zoom. You're in your hotel room. Where
I pushed everything over to that side of the bed. You can't see the grenade that went off over there.
Oh, okay. But because I was wondering if you made your bed or that was the hotel service, because it's an interesting way to line up the pillows.
That's hiding behind it. It's kind of like a barrier.
It's a pyramid, my friend. A pyramid of pillows back there.
If those things fall over, that's not going to be pretty.
We're going to have to set in the SWAT team to find you. Hey, Razor.
You betcha.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. Great job and keep up the great work. ESPN's.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Ray. Peace, bud.
ESPN's Ray Ferraro, one of the best.
He absolutely is.
Did you Google the green?
No, I haven't Googled Sleepy Hollow. Let's have a look. What do you got for us, Sam?
The green's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. He was right. I am blown away. And I'm a golf fan, and I am blown away by it. A little private by the looks of
cool.
it.
Cool.
So,
yeah, very cool.
Going down there to get a tee time or anything, but yeah, there you go.
Hey,
nice to hear from
you. Hang with me and Fraser and Mass, and we'll get you on somewhere. Yeah,
he knows people.
That's true. Great to see Fraser there. That was awesome to have him on.
Yes, it was.
All right, game time quickly before we go to break here.
Yep.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So Rangers tonight, -105. Florida Panthers, -115. I think if there's a game where you're going to get the absolute best effort out of the New York Rangers and they're going to get one, it feels like this is it. Like if they lose this one, like you guys were talking about, kind of feels like it's over. Yeah. So you're probably going to get the absolute A effort out of the New York Rangers. So probably lean on that side of it. I was looking at when will series finish odds, and with the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers, the favorite for when that series will end will be the same odds for game 6 and game 7. So Bet365 still anticipates that this series is going to go long. If you wanted to get really spicy there, you know, with a Florida win tonight, +375 for game 4. So that would be a long shot, but yeah, decent odds. The Edmonton Oilers and Dallas Stars, they think that it's going to go 6 or 7 games as well. They both think they're going to be long series with game 6 and 7 at the same odds at +190. So a couple good series for us there. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's throw it a break, and we can go with Doug McLean a little longer. Plus, if you want to send in some text messages.
It's Friday. Let's get your text.
Towards the end, 590-590 is where to send them to us. All right. Doug McLean on the conference final. What moves forward? Also, Waddell stepping down in Carolina. We'll get Max's thoughts on that as well. Plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kipros, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Now it's the man, the myth, the legend. He's done it all. Coach, general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a book with crayons. Let's welcome him in, Doug McLean.
Someone typed it for him.
Mac, where are you? Back in PEI. You're on the Canadian side.
Just trying to relax here. I don't need the book promo anymore. I got it right here in my study here.
Wow.
Got it. Right here.
So
there you go, nice.
Busy now. Like what's
I had a busy day. Lawn service was here today. Then I had to rake for an hour and a half. Amazing. I got the heart rate up to 130 raking the yard. And then I did 40 minutes of yoga. Like it's been just relaxing, having a cup of water here.
And were you charging that shirt the whole time, or did you forget to unplug it before the show?
Yes. For those of you that can't see on our Zoom call, that is a very loud shirt.
That is. I just picked it out because I have to play golf tomorrow morning at 7:50. So I wanted to get out and make sure it's, you know, it's ready to go. So.
Well, we hope you're ready to go on your key analysis, playoff analysis. We're down to 4 teams. You've been down this path before. You think you're close. Then you find yourself down a game or two and chasing it. And I'm not sure where Dallas or the Rangers feel after their game one, but you can blink pretty fast and find yourself on the outside looking in here.
You know what? It's funny. I was trying to think back to when we played Philly in the playoffs in the second round, and I went back and looked at the scores, and we went into Philly and won 2-0 in game one, lost game two in Philly, lost game three in Florida, and went back and won in Philly a second time. So in double overtime. So it's funny how series can go. If you, you know, just because you lose, you know, you win a road game, you lose a game at home. It's really interesting how it can unfold in different ways. So I don't get too carried away about one game. It's always nice on the road to get that win, but you know, we've seen some great hockey. Rangers Florida to me was a, I mean, I've never seen the Rangers look so were they non-interested, or did Florida make them look non-engaged? So I expect a better game tonight, but I really enjoyed the Dallas Edmonton game. Look, Edmonton learned a lot in that Vancouver series, boys. They really did. I mean, that was a learning experience to go through what they went through there and have to battle and grind out, you know, especially in the last game. 5-on-5 play. We talk about their special teams, 36% in the power play, and their penalty killing has been absolutely unbelievable. But the way they're playing 5-on-5 is pretty special for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. I'll start with a question on the other series, because I'm interested that you talked to the Rangers being uninterested. Some of the analysis since has been like, put Rempe in. We talked with Ray Ferraro about that. Where do you stand on the idea of trying to play Florida's game rather than just committing more to your own strengths? Like right now, it seems like the plan for the Rangers is to go be Florida when I don't know that they can out Florida.
Well, yeah. You know what? What I'd be most concerned about is the Panthers' forecheck. I mean, the Rangers are a skating team. They're a fairly quick team. They move the puck reasonably well out of their own end. And my analytics person, I've hired Megan Chaika to be my analytics person for the playoffs. And I made a note today that, you know, she did some great work on the Panthers' forecheck.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it going, and it affected the flow of the game. If they don't get Panarin and some of these guys with speed coming through the neutral zone and being creative at the blue line, you know, it all starts on the forecheck. And right now the Panthers are the best forechecking team in the NHL. They were in the regular season, and they've been the best forechecking team in the playoffs.
We know Paul Maurice Mac has been around a very long time, and his record for a guy that's done everything except win a Stanley Cup is pretty phenomenal. But I've never...
He's never been this good a coach he's coached this team. Not even close.
I don't think I can recall a coach I've watched in the last little while. I've never had a feeling like this where I think a coach knows his team better than his team knows themselves. He is so in tune with this team on what they need, what they don't need, when they need a tongue lashing, when they need a pat on the back. It is remarkable to even hear him in his post-game comments. They asked him about Lomberg's disallowed goal, and he's like, I love the call. against his own team. He's like, I love the call, and you're like, oh, you're full of crap. Yeah. And he's like, as long as I get it for my guy, it's a good call. Yeah. I'm like, but this guy can't miss right now.
Well, you know what? He said, look, he left Winnipeg, and I say he got fired. He says he quit. I don't know what the story was. I say he got fired. I don't believe he walked away. So that's fine. He got to do that. But I'll tell you what. He got a chance to go to Florida. Zito was smart to go with an experienced guy. Paul's always been a great talker. He's better on TV than he is a coach. There's no denying that. But I'll tell you what. He's gone into a situation where Bill Zito, a first-time GM, has come in and made some unbelievable moves. And Paul has been a perfect coach for this group. He gets a Tkachuk in there. He gets a Montour coming in. He gets, you know,
Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart.
And Reinhart. I mean, and Bennett. And so all of a sudden, and Bobrovsky and Forsland, who I mentioned to you guys 2 months ago, has made Ekblad into a real player. I think was I on this show? I do so many damn shows. I don't know who I said what to now. But anyway,
it Forsling's feels like you do a lot of shows. I think you only do ours.
Yeah, Forsling's a star. Well, it's the only, yeah, Forsling's a star. And you know what? And Paul has been able to, you know, his cuteness has been really good with the group. You know, he sort of he yaps after games like they play cocky, you know, which I really like. He's cocky, and you're cocky when you're winning. And I really like, I think he adds to the dimension of the cockiness of the group. They believe they can beat anybody. And Paul has helped that. Zito, I knew Billy Zito as an agent, but this guy has gone in and done a fabulous job. Thanks to Brad Treliving sending a Bennett and Kachuk. Thank God. He's making Zito look like a genius.
All right.
Anyway.
We have so many questions that we have to get to that I got to get started here. Sheldon Keefe gets hired by the New Jersey Devils. What are your thoughts on that hire?
Like, seriously, what is going on? Like, seriously.
Come on. Doug. One of the winningest coaches in the regular season.
Ever.
That's what I mean. Like, seriously, I don't get the like, what? I love Tommy Fitz. I love Tommy Fitz. He was a great player for me. Like, I'm sorry. I don't get this one. I know he did a great regular season job. I know Toronto's
so
top.
You don't like the hiring? You don't like it?
I don't
it?
Like the hiring, no.
Really?
I respect Sheldon Keefe. I love the fact that he paid his dues as a coach in Pembroke, in Sault Ste. Marie, and the Marlies, and the Leafs, and he's done a good job. But I don't get that move by Tommy Fitz.
Okay, what's the problem? He can't win in the playoffs? What don't you like?
Well, Jersey have got to make the playoffs, first of all, so he's good at that. Keefe's good at that. But, I mean, his team loves to play in the regular season. I just thought Tommy would go with a guy that had a little better record in the playoffs. But look, maybe he'll be great. I don't know. I was caught off guard by the being enamored with it. I really was. I was caught off guard. But that's fine. I can say that. I can say whatever I want.
You can wear whatever shirt you want.
Yeah.
This is a what's it? It's a nice one actually.
Under Armour.
And I got, I got the red Vanley shorts. I heard Sean Avery doing an interview, you know. And they said, "What about your wardrobe, Sean?" And he, you know, he's doing an interview on being on Oppenheimer, you know. And and he said, "Red Vanley all the way. Red Vanley all the way. Pants, shorts, you know." So I'm a red. So when Sean Avery said it, I'm a red Vanley guy now.
Wow. Wow.
Fashion advice. This is great.
Okay. Well, if we're going to stay on a little off ice before we get your thoughts maybe on the Oilers in Dallas.
By the way, I want to know who the nine guys were he interviewed. I know he interviewed Berube and McClellan. Who are the other seven? I know one guy got a 30-minute phone interview. Who are the other seven?
I'm kind of with Doug on this.
Would you be?
Oh, yeah. We called everyone.
Gerard Gallant got a call, did he not?
Yeah, he had a phone interview. Yeah.
Okay.
Phone interview, yeah.
You get a call?
McClellan.
No,
that's three. I'm wondering, I know three. Who are the other six?
John Gruden from the American League, they call him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. I'm stuck. Should we...
Anyway, look, Berube got the job. He's a good hire. I looked up Berube's record, you know, and I thought, okay, just a minute. He took over partway through the season and won the Stanley Cup in St. Louis. And I think he lost in the first round the next year, and then got fired the next year. So am I wrong?
Not enough for you for an easy hiring?
No, I think he's the right type of guy. We're into that mode now of, you know, the talkative
tougher
style,
love,
you know,
tougher love.
Tougher love. And I like that totally about Berube. I love that about him. I really like Craig as a player. He's just a grinder. The last game I coached for the Panthers, Craig got suspended in that game for 3 games. And I remember him coming to my office after the game and apologizing. I said, "Hey, Craig, don't worry about it. I think I'm getting fired tomorrow, so don't apologize to me. Apologize to the next guy." So anyway, I think it's a good hire. I think they need a little bit of tough love, and I'm really I'm hoping we're going to see a little different group. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if the coach is Scotty Bowman or Don Shula. They better get some different players. They better get some different players. From what I'm watching at night, they better get some different players.
They're working on it.
They got the coach. They got the GM. Yep. They got the coach. They got the WNBA team now in the building, which is great. I'm thrilled about that.
We're not sure where they're
so
playing.
So now are they playing in the big building?
I don't know.
No, they're playing Coca-Cola, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, there?
Yeah.
What's Coca-Cola?
The old Rico Coliseum.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, I think it's a great move. I love it. Okay. But anyway, I just think that they got to fix this team, and it'll be – they started with Craig.
Okay. So Waddell resigned or, according to you, maybe got fired. Which one is it?
Yeah, like a lot of guys I find resign as general managers and head coaches. Who the hell resigns as a GM and who resigns as a head coach? Can somebody fill me in on that?
I don't know. Seriously. Somebody who just...
Scotty Bowman didn't even resign. Scotty Bowman got fired in Pittsburgh. Everybody said he resigned. He got fired, and then he ends up in Detroit and wins like three cups. Nobody resigns. Come on. It's a bunch of BS.
Could Waddell have left an owner that might be a little bit more difficult than most? Maybe the fact that he'd like to bring his salary up to, you know, the year 2000?
Look, I know they have I talked about the genius group in Carolina with you guys a couple of weeks ago when I was criticizing their goaltending. And I know Borny picked them to win the cup and Freddie to win the whatever, the Conn Smythe. And I didn't like their goaltending. And I said it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is 3 years in a row with the same goaltenders. And something had to give there. Brendan Moore's not going anywhere. Don Waddell, who's a fine guy. And, you know, Dundon, Tuluski's the guy that calls all the shots there. Don't ever kid yourself. I talked to a guy that worked for them a year ago and told me nobody does anything in Carolina unless Tuluski approves.
No, Tulski. Eric.
Whatever his name
Tulski.
Is, I don't give a rat's ass. Tuluski to me. So he calls all the shots, okay? So why do you need a GM if he's calling all the shots?
He's been named interim GM.
And he'll probably keep that
for a very long
time.
He's been the GM the last 3 years. Why would they name him interim now? Come on. You know that. You know that, Borneo. That's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
He's been running the show for, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't know. I sounds
so
right.
So everybody's got Waddell that I talked to linked to done deal to Columbus if he wants it as president.
President?
Yeah. More business side than I think GM or a hockey side. But right now, I see what I hear is that Columbus has been sitting on, in a perfect world, they go get maybe Holland coming off of Edmonton in his 5 years, or they wanted Gorton, who obviously Montreal has not given a green light to. Those are the two names.
Is that owner going to pay a president and a GM big names like that? Is that, I mean, Doug would know more than me, but seems like a lot of money.
Look, Mike Priest is the one now, and JD are making the calls. And Mike Priest has always been the president of the team on the business side. And he's also the guy that runs McConnell's empire. He looks at not Worthington Industries, which is their main business, but all their side businesses Mike Priest runs. And he also is the president of business side of the Blue Jackets, or president of the Blue Jackets. Mike is heavily involved with JD picking the GM. JD's leaving. We know that Mike Priest is probably stepping back from his workload. I can see Don being a good choice there. I can see Don being a good choice as the president. But Don, like, I know Don was business guy, but Don Waddell's been a hockey lifer. He's a quality guy. He's always been a great person. He did a good job in a tough situation. Atlanta was a disaster, but he was there for a long time. And then he went as pro scout in Pittsburgh, and then he went to Carolina. You know, I think he's a good hockey man. I think he's a good guy. I don't see him as a president of the business side. I see him as a hockey guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And if Ken Holland...
I'm just telling you.
Is Ken Holland going to want to go to Columbus as GM? I can see Ken Holland going as president of hockey ops. I don't see Kenny going as a GM. Am I missing something?
Somebody once told me from Summerside PEI, I'm not telling you what's the truth. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
I know. Fran McLean, that was her favorite. Mother used to tell me that every week. Doug, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
So, look, there's a ton to be heard.
They're good names for the Blue Jackets. And you know what? The Blue Jackets have got a lot of prospects, but they've got to turn around the perception. And, you know, they've got some good names there.
Okay.
I mean, Kenny Holland and Don Waddell are friends. They go back a long way. It'd be a good team.
Okay, well, quickly, did Edmonton show you last night that they're on their way to a Stanley Cup final?
You know what the key was to me is Skinner comes in and in the first 5 minutes showed me that this guy's not going to lose his net again. I mean, he you know, a couple big time saves early in the game. I thought he had a superb performance. I love the way they are 5-on-5. I love the little things, the face-offs. Ryan's winning a ton of face-offs. The big boys are engaged. Their power play is humming. Their penalty killing has been spectacular. There's not much not to like. Boucher's become a star. 26 minutes a game this kid's playing. We knew he was a great player with London. He took a while to get it going. I mean, this kid has taken a big step. Talk about a guy that gets the puck to the net.
Yeah.
You know? Talk about a guy from the point that finds the net with his shot. So there's a lot to think. You know, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Well,
I think, you know what? I know if you look at Sammy is there, go back. And I said that I expected the finals to be Florida and Edmonton in the finals. Just check it out, will you? Just I think I don't know if I dreamt it or if I actually
I think you said it.
Yeah.
I can confirm you said it.
Well, listen, we got to go. Great job, though. Listen. From leaving Florida to PEI, you know, unlike the Canadian dollar, man, you didn't lose 35%. You are
okay.
Right
I was,
there.
You know what? I've been worried sick since the last show. I've been worried sick because somebody happened to drop a glass of wine on my desk, and I picked it up on the show, and I thought maybe that I'd get fired, which I was hoping would happen, and that you guys might as well. And I'm glad to see you're still there.
Well, we wouldn't fire you. We'd give you the chance to resign, Doug.
We appreciate the...
Oh, no, I'm going to resign. I'm like all the GMs and coaches. I'm resigning.
We appreciate the alcohol-free... episode today.
Be so I'm quick
getting,
to judge.
No, just a minute. I'm getting paid $2 million a year, and I'm going to resign. No, I think I can do better than that.
Oh,
or three, hey. Or four, or five.
Hey, he was not making $2 million. I can guarantee
North
you
Carolina,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. If I'm making two, hey, listen, I'll let you know. If I'm making $250, I might have stayed.
All right, enjoy your weekend, buddy. Thanks for doing this, Doug McLean.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care. Have fun.
All right, I think we went a little long.
The coaches. Somebody texted in. Berube, McClellan, Gallant, Evason, Woodcroft, Julian, Vigneault, Gruden, and they asked Brind'Amour. So that's nine people.
There you go.
Someone texted.
Where did they get the list from? That's just their opinion?
That's who they guessed.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good list.
Good list from the texter. I think you did great.
Can you text that to Doug?
I will text to Doug.
Oh, jam it down his throat.
I don't know if Doug's... I mean, sometimes they still listen, but last week when I was talking about how beautiful his A-frame cottage was...
Yes.
He... emailed me, and I was like, oh, he's like, I've heard you loved A-frame cottages, yeah, so he emailed me.
Both do, yeah.
And he was like, here's a picture. And there's no picture.
You didn't attach it? Come on, Matt.
So I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to blow him off. But he didn't attach a picture.
Well, what we saw of it was beautiful.
Coming next week. Takes so a little time.
Boys, I love this new gig. I don't even have to talk.
Well, I did one
two
hour.
Guests a show, no Sammy talk.
1 hour flies by. Our thanks to Ray Ferraro and, of course, our very own Doug McLean. All right, Rangers, 1-1 after tonight?
Rangers get one tonight.
You good with that, Sammy?
Agreed.
All right, let's go Rangers, 1-1. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening all week long. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and we're back Monday on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Or Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Bye.